Did you have some discussion earlier?
Yes, we were talking about the usual things.
Okay. This moment, reality, again and again.
Now, in a situation like that, in the interview, it makes me nervous and basically those are the situations.
No. But you didn't look like that any day.
But no remembering about the present moment reality, even when I'm trying to find the words to explain it.
Yeah.
Completely forgetful of my
Not own. Just then, but
yeah.
now.
But now. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
So often, yeah.
So it does seem, though, that when the kilesa are strong it's less likely for there to be any remembering about them.
But what about at that moment people try to prepare to have sati, thinking about having it instead of akusa? See? It does exactly the same, no matter what moment arises, it's conditioned just to be that way. And when there is no understanding, one might think that one should do like that, thinking about awareness while one is interviewed or something like that, see, or while one is talking, see. It always comes. The lopa is always there, hidden with the mask, under the mask of wishing to understand better or things like that, see. Preparing to understand, but that is not the understanding. So that is cheating Dhamma. Lopa is the cheating Dhamma.
The cheat?
Cheating.
Cheating Dhamma.
Cheating Dhamma.
Because
it cheats all the time. Mm. Thinking that is the way to prepare to think about it, but actually it's lopa.
Yes. Masquerading as
Kusala. Yes.
We could say experience seems to suggest that there's more awareness in situations.
I think that when we think too much about awareness, it's like a lopa is there. Why not just listen and understand? And everything arises by conditions. Otherwise, lopa is there trying to urge, to trigger one who has to have more sati, more understanding. So just be natural to understand the natural supporting Pattaya.
That awareness cannot arise by thinking.
At moment of thinking rightly, it is awareness itself. And one would like to know a lot about this and that, but how can there be such understanding when there is no direct understanding of nama and rupa as realities yet? But one thinks a lot about how it becomes the pachya, how it is the noble truth, or how it's ayatana, or how it's tattu. Keep on thinking. But at moment of hearing and there is understanding, even a little bit about reality now, so one knows that no matter where and when, there are conditions to condition reality at that moment. And at that moment, it will accumulate so on that there can be the condition for the higher development with detachment. So one shouldn't forget about the teachings of Buddha all concern detachment only. And without panya, it's impossible to become detached. Because lopa is very cheating. Lopa, reality.
Lopa is very
cheating.
Cheating. Mm. So detachment means the detachment that comes with panya.
Certainly, yeah. Certainly. Mm.
And that detachment is of a different quality than detachment.
Actually.
Just not having
actually, it's the function of panya. No one has to do anything at all. Just having understanding from hearing, thinking. But if one wants to have panya soon, it's wrong again. Impossible. And the proof is this moment. It's visible object, just visible object. See, and this is the point. if there is no understanding about the realities as natural as it is, there is no way to directly experience the arising and falling away, because there must be detachment from time to time to time until one can see one's own gradual detachment. But Panya,
the moments of awareness or understanding that do arise, the detachment and these moments of seeing visible objects as visible objects, are very few and far between.
Again. It's true when there is no attachment to it.
Right.
We are thinking rightly, correctly, that it's far like that. But when someone thinks about how far I will get it, that is not right.
Right. My point was just that just shows how we develop panya.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How do you explain the fact that you can have a very strong interest in Dhamma, but the panya is so weak? How does that explain? Because
and it's panya which knows that panya is weak. Otherwise, it's designed for.
I need all the encouragement I can get.
Otherwise, there can be the moment of thinking that how can I have it?
Yes.
See, because it's weak. So how can the lopa comes in again?
And before we were talking about the difference between, say, doing a lot of reading and not understanding. And how valuable one moment, just one moment is. Mm-hmm. And I think perhaps we underestimate that one moment. We think there must be many, but because that moment can't be described, the knowledge of it has to have some important effect.
I think what you're saying is we can't underestimate the value of even just a little panya.
Yes,
because if there isn't a little panya, it cannot develop. So never mind how much or how little, even a little is very precious. To her, the teachings and begin to consider what's right.
And this moment is the result of the previous understanding from past lives on we don't know how long. See, it used to be like this. Why don't we believe in the wrong practice? See, there must be conditions for this moment too.
And that's something that I was mentioning the other day, that even though when I started hearing the Dhamma, it took me many years to really understand what sati was. But yet I didn't have any information to follow the other kind of practice.
What is the reason for that?
Because you think if
Sankara Khanda, not you, not anyone, Sankara Khanda. As Tathu, or a Tathu, Nama Tathu.
And to have confidence in what is the right path and to have no interest in following other practices shows that there has to be panya accumulated already.
I think that will continue in
Yes.
Discussion at Jetavana.
Suchin here at Jetavana. Is there anything in particular you would like to say or remind us?
Just talk about realities. That's the best thing.
You said in Thai about Kamatana, and that the meditation subject, that the monks asked the Buddha for a meditation subject, Kamatana, but this is each object that appears, Satipatthana. The object of Satipatthana is Kamatana. So we'd like to hear more about this as a reminder.
It depends on the understanding of the one who reads the Tipitaka, how much one understands about the word like Kamatana. It's not just the word that anyone can do without any understanding at all. There must be the understanding from the very beginning. When we talk about Kamatana, it means the object of understanding. because there are many kinds of karma, kusala karma, akusala karma, and there are many levels of kusala karma too. For example, now at this moment, even there is no understanding of realities directly, it's kusala karma to have satta, to come here and pay respect and think about the virtues of Buddha, the teachings, and all the sanghas in the past. But that is not the purpose of development panya of the Sammasambuddho, because he also wanted the other to share his understanding and to develop understanding so that anyone who has developed can attain or penetrate the truth of reality right now. So kammatana, tana is now the object which is seen. And kamma is not dana, not just dana, and not just sila, but also the development of right understanding of reality right now. But it has to begin from hearing and considering carefully. Otherwise, if one heard about kammatana and one went straight away to develop whatever, that doesn't bring any understanding at all. That is not what the Buddha taught. Because before he could become enlightened to really penetrate the true nature of reality right now as Sammasambuddho, it took quite a long, long eons and eons ago. So it's not as easy as just going to read the teaching and then do whatever one does for kammatthana. So it needs very carefully studying each word. Like, who knows that now it is kammatthana? Now, right now. Because anything here is real. No one can make or condition its arising at all. For example, seeing. Who can have seeing at will? And one doesn't have to do anything at all, no preparation for seeing to arise, because it's already conditioned, so it's now seeing. So by developing right understanding of realities, which is now appearing as Dhamma, Dhamma, different Dhamma, one characteristic at a time, it will bring more and more understanding about realities which cannot be taken for self at all. Who sees, if one knows that it's a reality, it's that mentality which can understand. Seeing itself is that which can see, that's all. And after it has arisen, it has passing away, suddenly, immediately. So where's the eye? Sudden flashing, coming and going, never come back. So the more one understands the reality right now, it brings more understanding that's no self at all. So anytime, anything, at any moment can be object of understanding for the one who has studied carefully to know. Otherwise, it's impossible to think or to have right understanding, that right understanding can develop to the degree that it can penetrate the true nature, the arising and falling away of reality right now.
Referring to the arising and falling away of realities right now, we know that it is because of the continuity, in Pali, the santati of cittas, that the impermanence is covered up, and then we have the idea of postures or people here doing this and that, and there isn't the understanding of the impermanence of dharmas. The continuity, when we refer to the continuity, one citta after another, can we say this is a concept representing many different realities, many different cittas? Is this so continuity, santati, is actually a concept?
Yeah. Okay. Like this moment, seeing, hearing, thinking, it seems that they all come together at once, but actually one at a time.
Ajahn, several of us were talking earlier
I'm still not clear about, well, as much as I can be intellectually, about the difference between vipaka, which would, you know, and pleasant or unpleasant feeling that accompanies it, and the arising of dosa. For instance, I think I understand that bodily pain, bodily unpleasant feeling, is vipaka, is a visible object. Is it a pleasant visible object, vipaka?
No, because all kinds of rupa cannot experience anything at all. When we use the term vipaka, we mean only mental realities, citta and cetasika, because the reality which has intention to perform such and such deeds, after it has fallen away, no matter how long it was, it could produce result at any time by right conditions. And so the result of the intention must be mentality only. The rupa cannot know anything. How can it be vipaka? So visible object now is not vipaka, but the seeing is. Hearing sound is not vipaka, but the hearing is.
I expressed myself incorrectly. But the seeing is vipaka, the hearing, the tasting, all the sense. Mm-hmm. What occurs through the sense doors is all vipaka.
The experiencing of the sense objects, yes. The moments of seeing and hearing.
Right.
But what appears, the visible object, the sound, is not.
Okay.
And the jetasikas that arise at vipaka also?
Yes. Mm-hmm. They arose together. Mm-hmm. They fall away together.
The experiencing through the sense doors is all vipaka.
If we pinpoint some of them, like seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching,
yes.
And at the moment of rebirth, uh-huh. It is vipaka, yes. Too.
But the jhavana kittas, for example, and the sense door process,
are not
with which are accompanied by attachment or ignorance. These are not that
right.
Okay. Yeah. Jan, in the rising and falling away, one of the distinctive mental faculties is adimokkha, I think it is, deciding. Could you talk some about that? I don't fully understand where that decides. It seems to me that I can come into deciding, but obviously it doesn't.
Nina, could you talk about adimokkha now, please?
So it's a decision. It's translated as decision. It's rise is many cittas, but not with every citta. And it performs its own function, but we cannot really pinpoint it. It's impossible. The Buddha could distinguish the many different cetasikas. So the word decision doesn't help us very much. It's a term.
I was asking about the mental faculty, adimokkha.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's arising with many cittas, but not with everyone. Not with seeing.
No, I understand.
And hearing, because seeing and hearing only have 7, and the minimum amount of cetasikas, but it arises with other cetasikas, but not with doubt. When there is doubt, there is no adimokkha.
Mm-hmm.
All these mental factors, cetasikas, even those which seem in their English translation to suggest some kind of self or will, like chetana, intention, or adimokkha, resolution, but they are all just conditioned cetasikas which arise with certain moments of consciousness. So they're all equally conditioned, equally impermanent, and still there's no deciding by anyone or anything to do anything.
I appreciate it.
when we learn the details about the many different chetasikas, it really helps that there is no place anymore for yourself, because citta and chetasikas do their functions. No other person or something besides those can do anything. Nobody can do anything.
No.
Just the citta and the chetasikas, it helps really a lot. Even the intellectual understanding.
The mental dharmas are very difficult to realize their characteristics, because even right now, even there is seeing right now, visible object is appearing. Where is the seeing? See? And what about the other jetasikas accompany seeing? So in the beginning, I think that we just do not learn from book that there are two different types of realities, that which cannot experience an object is one type, and that which is now experienced is different from the one which cannot experience. But when we talk about jetasikas, it's not easy to really understand, because even citta is the chief of the faculty of experience and object. Even so, just citta itself is not easy to learn to see that it's that which is not self, which has a reason, which has performed its function, and then passed away in split seconds.
You were saying the other day that all that appears is only dhammas, just dhammas, or dhatus. And I think you said that even knowing them as nama and rupa is a further stage beyond understanding that everything that appears is only dhammas. Is that right? So at the beginning level, one develops the understanding that everything that appears is only dhamma.
Yeah. Even the understanding that everything is dhamma now is not easy at all, because now there is visible object appearing. What is seen is not visible object. It's always someone or something all right. the time. But there is the reality which always thinks after seeing. No one can stop thinking about what is seen at all. But thinking is not seeing. So in order to know that thinking is not seeing, we can begin to understand that what is seen now is just a reality, an element, which has to arise, otherwise it cannot appear. And it does not arise, it has to contact the eye sense, so that the citta can see it. It's now the citta which can see visible object, that's all. And then after that, the seeing has to fall away and the visible object has to pass away. And always think about what is seen so rapidly. That's why in order to see that there is no one who sees and there is no one at all here, just thinking of the visible object, just taking someone and something out of visible object which is now appearing by thinking. If there is no thinking, who is sitting here? What's here? Nothing. Only visible object. Is that easy? So we come to understand the virtues of the Buddha, the enlightened one.
Someone asked, how do you know when there is sati? And the answer is to know the difference when there is sati and when there is no sati. But if you don't know about sati, how can you know? It cannot be a logical answer, I think.
There are many realities appearing, right? Including hardness. And is there awareness of hardness now? Or it just appears to the body consciousness which experiences it. See, usually in a day, there are different realities which sees and hears and tastes and touch and think, passed from moment to moment, unknowingly, because one always is absorbed by the thinking of beings and things in one's life, even right now. So since one has studied that, there is no one, nothing, only tattoo, element, different elements. Begin to see the element of hardness. But usually, there's no idea about hardness as an element at all. It appears as always something. But when there's the understanding about the characteristic of hardness, just hardness, it's hard. Can it be something else besides hardness? Can it? No, it has to be hard all the time when it is experienced through body. That is daily life without understanding. But when there is the understanding about hardness as an element, a reality, which is the object of the body consciousness, no matter who, children, dog, cats, anyone, can have the body consciousness which experiences the hardness. But the one who has studied the teachings and learned to know about elements, no one but elements, the firm foundation of the understanding of Dhamma, one day will condition awareness to arise, not at will. And when awareness arises, instead of just not knowing the characteristic which is hard, as usual, it's there. Experiencing hardness after the body consciousness which experienced it and fought away. And the moment of beginning to know that there is hardness as an element, that is the beginning of knowing when there is awareness and when there is no awareness.
Yes. But I said to you the other day, there is also some quick thinking, and you said, okay, that's the beginning. So one should also realize that there can be a moment of awareness, but after that thinking, and it may be with attachment.
Anything can arise.
Yeah.
Any moment, no expectation, not at anyone's will at all.
Yeah.
Is there anyone wishing for awareness to arise after seeing right now, or after touching, after the hardness which appeared to body consciousness?
It's hard. But through eyes, it is harder, because then you at once think of a person. It's harder than the other door wish, but maybe that's personal, through eye door.
You are appreciating the virtues of the Buddha.
I understand. Yeah.
In the suttas, there are many references to body, kaya and pali, and we have to be careful of the context to understand what is meant. So, for example, in the first section of the Satipatthana Sutta, kaya upasana is referring to the rupas, which we call the body. And in another sutta, for example, the one about the world's end and understanding this fathom-long body, I think it's referring to any nama or rupa, or including perceptions, feelings, sankhara, dhammas. Is that right? Because it's only by understanding any nama or rupa that the world's end can be reached. So here the body has a much wider meaning.
Can the sanya be the body?
In this context?
Anytime.
Anytime. I think it depends what one takes for body.
Sanya cannot be the body. Mm. But when one reads about the Kayanupasana Satipatthana, it shows or indicates the reality at that moment. Sati, awareness, is aware of a rupa, which appear at the rupa that we take for body,
yes,
from birth,
yes,
until now. When is heart the other place, like here or there, we don't take that for my body. But when there is awareness of our reality at the body, how can we not say that awareness is aware of body or kaya?
Yes. This is clear, but what about references, for example, reaching the world's end by understanding this fathom-long body? Is it the same, still just understanding the rupas that is referred to?
I think that right understanding is not limited. Because if panya is limited, it cannot eradicate wrong view at all. So at moment of awareness, it depends on awareness itself.
So it may be referring to rupa's experience through the body and any other
right.
Things, I think.
This morning you mentioned cheating. Could you say a little more about that? That seems...
Yeah. It's lopa, which always cheat. Because when there is the wish or wanting to understand reality, is that kusala or akusala? See, some people listen to the Dhamma program all day. What for? Just one word like Dhamma. Can that person understand clearly, even right now, that this reality is Dhamma, and sound is Dhamma, and thinking is Dhamma? So just one word in the beginning needs more and more considering and contemplating on that. We don't have to want to hear a lot of terms from different books by considering whether how it is this or how it conditioned that. But at this very moment, from knowing reality that whether there is awareness, the direct understanding of a characteristic that one heard about so many, many times, like visible object, just wondering, can it bring a little understanding better and better? We don't count in a day or 2 days or a year or 2 years at all. Just be truthful at this moment of seeing and hearing about visible object. The understanding of visible object begins at moment of when it appears right now, that it's just a reality. That's the beginning. Instead of thinking about ayatana, the inner and the outer ayatana, when there is no understanding of the realities as absolute realities like citta, cetasika, or rupa, how can there be the understanding of the ayatana? But when panya develops, no matter it's what kind of reality, it's ayatana when it appears. Now the realities which has arisen and fallen away without awareness, without understanding, cannot be ayatana. Because even it arises, it's gone completely, no understanding. But by understanding nama and rupa, seeing and visible object, are they not ayatana? Visible object is ayatana, and the eye sense or the eye base is also ayatana. And the citta, it has to be there, so it's ayatana. And all cetasikas which accompany citta at that moment must be there, so they all ayatana. Not just by hearing the term, but not understanding, seeing right now, as they are all ayatana. Why? We know the answer, because there's understanding of dhammas now.
Like the sound now, we don't mind what they are saying, but it can be just sound.
Mm-hmm. Before and then later.
And then thinking of the sound.
It doesn't matter until panya grows. When it develops, no doubt about ayatana at all.
But people ask often about what is characteristics? How do you realize characteristics?
Is there Laksana. No characteristic right now at all?
That is the point.
For a moment of seeing now, there has to be the meeting of several ayatanas. There has to be the eye base. There has to be the visible object. There has to be the moment of seeing. There has to be the contact. There have to be all these different dhatus, all these different elements arising at the same moment, just for one moment of seeing to occur. So
the ayatanas refer to the meeting of different dharmas.
But it's one of the ways of classifying dhammas,
yes.
Like khandhas,
yes.
And dhatas.
Yes. Yeah. But it's very difficult with translation. They say sense field sometimes, but it's not so satisfactory.
Yesterday we were speaking about the death of another and discussing what it is that knows the death of another. Not conventionally, because we are told conventionally this person or this animal has died. At the level of sati, is there anything other than nama and rupa that appears that informs about death?
In the absolute sense, can we say that death is the last moment of citta, of life?
That's all.
Death is the last moment of citta.
Of this life.
Of this life.
Mm-hmm. Any life, death. The end of life. So it's the last moment of citta, the death consciousness.
And then there will be rebirth consciousness.
After, instantly. No gap.
So when we talk about the death of another, like knowing that the other is dead,
we talk about the last citta of that person's life.
We can't know that. We cannot know that.
Do you know citta right now, which arises and falls in?
Hopefully it's not the last one.
Exactly the same. So there are three kinds of death. One is the momentary death, each moment. Never come back, see. And the second meaning of death is the what we call death, like person born and die. And the last one is the final death of only an arahata. No more birth. Whatever can be known must be known by panya, not by ignorance.
So when we talk about the death of the other, we are talking conventionally.
Mm-hmm. About the person of that person is also conventional.
Yes. So in fact there is nothing to know except nama and rupa.
Yes, without nama and rupa, how can there be anything in the world, any world?
And when we, Maeve and I were having a chat the other day about the passing away of family members or close friends, and naturally we tend to feel disturbed when this happens, but really it comes back to one's own unpleasant feeling or one's own disturbance, which is all that can be known at that moment, I think.
Then you will realize that you live alone in the world at any time with your thinking only. After seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. It seems like one lives with many people, but actually only in one's thought. Mm-hmm. Mm.
Mm. And also, it seems so final or disturbing when someone we're close to passes away, but actually, as far as they're concerned, it's just another citta, another moment in this long process of cittas arising and falling away. That we have this idea of this person, this being who's passed away and something traumatic about it, but actually it's just another citta.
And next life, will you think about that person again?
I think you always remind us, next life, new set of friends, new set of family, mm-hmm. new set of concepts to think about, and life after life.
Could you be one of those? Could you be one of those who came to Sawatthi and Chetavan and sat here?
Mm-hmm. Possible.
Yeah. See, who knows?
Who knows?
Mm-hmm. Maybe as one of the monkeys.
Not mom, so Betty this life. Who was there in previous life?
Who was there in previous life?
Because again, we think in terms of a person being here and a person who was here last life or another life, but again, just different creatures, different namas and rupas rising and passing away.
Actually, when there's more understanding, there are no one, only different accumulations of citta and cetasika, that's all. And we call by different names.
So I think that means that life is a concept, and death is a concept, and person is a concept.
And what is concept?
Difficult question, that. Concepts are not anything.
Idea. Thought.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
About the sign of realities which arise and falls away so rapidly.
What, the sign of realities?
The image or the sign?
The image.
Yeah.
The nimitta.
Yeah.
Our shadow.
So what appears now are the nimitta of dhammas.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing to be understood about the nimitta, or the...
It represents reality.
Nimitta
represents reality?
Without reality, can there be nimitta?
No, but I must be confused about nimitta then, because
it represents the succession of the arising and falling away of realities.
Does it have the same characteristic?
Yes.
Is it weaker? How is it? Why is it distinguished from
that? Because if there isn't the precise understanding now of the arising and passing away of a dharma, then the actual dharma itself, the characteristic of that actual dharma, is not known. So when there is awareness, because it's not developed enough, it's actually like an image of the reality, depending on many experiences of visible object or sound.
And is it memory?
So
is it like memory or not memory? When you say image,
no. It's like a shadow of the reality.
Mm.
Like when you wave the fire stick and there is the image around it, it's not actually the fire, but it's like the shadow or the halo of that.
Mm-hmm. Go to another reality like sound or hardness. Okay. What would be the limit of sound or hardness?
It would be sound. It's a characteristic of sound, but we can't actually say it is the reality of sound because it's not the understanding of the arising and passing away of that sound, but it's still the characteristic of sound.
No, I was asking, you gave the analogy of the fire stick, so that's helpful for visual object, but for sound.
Like the echo of the sound.
Okay.
So at what point,
we say there's no one there, but yet there is a patisandhicitta at the beginning and a dutichitta at the end. So then the purpose of the patisandhi and the dutichitta is what?
Who conditioned that? Or they are all tattoo,
to condition the tattoo to arise?
Elements.
Can we say in a certain place? Can we say in a certain to arise in a certain place?
Betty, I think Ajahn said, who conditioned that?
Nobody can, it's conditions. But then, yet, then what is it that is... nobody conditioned, or nobody caused the Patisandhi and the Jutijitta to arise, but not a being in any case. But then what is the purpose of the Patisandhi and the Jutijitta?
You mean Chetana Chetasika or Chitta itself? When you talk about purpose?
No, I'm not talking about Chetana. I'm talking about Patisandhi and Jutti.
Yeah, the meaning. You mean what kind of sense does it have?
No, when I you think say purpose, do you mean function?
I think what she function. I understand the function, but if what is it needed for?
What you're saying is, if there aren't beings, why is there a Patisandhi and a Jutti-Jitta, right?
I'm just asking, what is the purpose then of having a Jutti-Jitta and a Patisandhi-Jitta?
The purpose of who? The purpose of who?
Sorry?
Who has purpose?
No, there's no one. I understand there's no... But I know conditions will bring the Patisandhi in and conditions will cause the Jutti to arise. But the fact that in between both of those, each one brings on a very big change. So then, but what is the
purpose?
I don't know how to phrase it another way.
Yeah. In terms of absolute realities or in terms of tattoo elements?
Yeah.
Anything which has arisen must have conditions for its arising. Right?
Right.
And when we think in terms of the mental reality, it cannot arise without conditions at all. The same of each moment, death or birth, must have conditions for its arising. When one go into the forest, is there fire or not yet? And then there come fire in the forest. How? By conditions. So if we think of the past and the future, we think that something's there. But actually nothing arises yet until there are conditions for its arising. No matter it's rupa or nama, mentality or corporeality, there must be conditions for its arising just at that very moment.
So then can we say that, say, a Patisandhi Jitta is conditioned for Jetasika Jitta arising in a particular place or whatever you want to call it, context?
Can we talk about any type of Jitta, not just Patisandhi Jitta?
Any kind.
Any kind of Jitta.
Oh, okay. Well, I was specifically talking about those mm-hmm. two because they seem to bring on the biggest change.
They demarcate what we call this life.
Yeah,
this,
they demarcate this
plane
life.
Of existence. And I think what she's saying is that if there is no person and if what we call death is just concept anyway, then, and if there is no life, because this is also a concept, then what exactly are Patisandhi and Jutti-Jittas demarcating?
Why are they demarcating a life, then?
One jitta is different from the other jitta, right?
Yes.
Can we call that demarcation between the two?
Right. In the case of other jittas, we can say that there's no demarcation, but in these two cases, there is a demarcation.
We could say, if we make it shorter, we could say that in a sense-door process, there is a Vawanga Jitta and a Tadaramana Jitta demarcate that sense-door process,
mm-hmm.
and then the same in a mind-door
right,
process,
right.
or in a set of Javana Jittas, one could say there's the first and the seventh jhāvana, citta, that demarcate.
Yeah,
actually, in a sense, it is. It's just that this, the patisandhi and the chuti citta demarcate for most people a longer series of cittas. But it's in a way, it's just like a sense door process or a mind door process that is demarcated.
Yeah.
And then if we make it even shorter, just one moment of citta, there's the arising and the falling away.
So it's really no different from any other jhava citta in that sense. Or
can I go back to Nimitta? I understood your analogy of the fire stick and the echo. At what point...
Can I make one more comment on that
before
you ask the next one? So I thought afterwards. And if we think of the analogy of the fire stick or the echo, then as Satipatthana develops, what, as I understand it, is happening is actually the characteristic, one is actually the understanding is actually getting closer and closer to the reality. So the fire stick image or the echo is getting smaller and smaller or more and more focused until it is actually the sound itself or the visible object itself, which is known precisely with its arising and passing away. So it's like it's getting sharper and sharper.
And does Sati know that it is nimitta? Sati is aware that it is nimitta?
We don't have to call it anything at all. But since citta and cetasika, all dharmas arise and fall away so fast, can it be known unexpectedly how fast it is? So right now, who can know the arising of one rupa, which its lifespan is 17 moments of citta arising and falling away, and the citta itself, how fast it is, 17 moments. Usually one thing like scientific knowledge, like about cells and so forth, but it's much more rapid than that. Because between the seeing moment and the hearing moment, there are more than 17 moments of citta arising and falling away. So who can imagine the arising and falling away of rupa? Since they arise succeedingly, so sannyā can take the image or the shadow of the reality which already gone, like from here and then turned around from here to there.
At the other end of the... let me phrase this again. When does something go from being... Okay, I have an idea of sound.
Excuse me, how?
Well, I just, in thinking.
Thinking about what?
Sound.
Do you have to think? Or it appears?
No, it appears.
And then there's thinking about it?
Yes.
In what way? When you think about it?
That was sound.
Each time you hear?
No, I get, let me see if I can ask my question further. Is I guess I'm somehow thinking that nimitta is not a concept, correct?
It is.
It is, okay. It is. Now we're getting into it.
As soon as a reality has fallen away and there is thinking or memory about it, that is concept.
Okay. So nimitta is a concept?
Of? Reality.
Of a reality. Okay, it's a concept of a reality. And then, I guess I'm wanting to apply a process to this. And using again Sarah's analogy of the echo or the fire stick. Life is a lot of fire sticks.
I remember that you said the fire stick around. Mm-hmm. What was it again? I was thinking of it the other
you
day.
You see the round light, or just one, not the whole.
A circle, yeah.
Okay.
Once you use that, but I forgot really the point.
Do you have circle light, or do you have just one
there
which moves in a circle?
Yeah, there is in reality only one.
Mm-hmm.
But what
does the nimitta mean? Is the circle. This circle. Light.
Yes. Or many moments together right. as a uh-huh. circle.
Right.
But in reality...
But it seems like there's really a circle of light, but actually just one uh-huh. from one place to another place.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That is a description of nimitta, a visual object?
If you don't call it nimitta, but the reality which arises has passed away so fast, so rapidly. What is left, depending on what you would call it, nimitta or whatever. But it's not that one which has risen and fallen away in split seconds.
I guess what I'm trying to distinguish is the difference between nimitta and a concept. And thinking, nimitta, a visual object, and thinking about visual object.
There are realities. One reality arises and falls away in split second, and condition the next one in succession. One doesn't have to think about the arising and falling away, but what is seen is not the arising and falling away of any reality at all. So what is seen is nimitta, and then there is concept about that.
But I understood before that you can be aware of nimitta, that it has characteristics, so then it is not a concept, is that right?
Nimitta of what?
Of visible object, of hardness.
And now does it appear, the nimitta?
Yes.
If there is no understanding of reality right now, how can you know that which has arisen and fallen away?
I don't understand the question.
Now, what is seen?
Visible object.
As nimitta.
It must be
not
nimitta.
Arising and falling away.
Not arising and falling away.
All. So, if there is no understanding of the nimitta of a reality, just a reality, nimitta of cittas, nimitta of vedanas, nimitta of sanyas, or nimitta of sounds, then how can there be the beginning of understanding reality as reality?
So you need to know
right.
that. Otherwise there can be no beginning.
Right.
So we can be aware of nimitta.
And later on when panya grows, you know that there must be nimitta. But there are also right understanding of the characteristic of that which arising and falling away.
Yeah, but I thought that the object of awareness must be paramatta dhamma, not
right.
a panyati, not right. a concept.
All right. But can there be right understanding of a reality which arises and falls away now?
Not yet.
And how can there be the beginning of understanding?
Beginning. Yeah.
With animitta.
That is very important. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So I like to hear more about it. The beginning of understanding. I have to know.
It's like this moment, exactly.
Yeah. So it appears not to rise and fall away. Nimitta appears not to rise and
so
fall away.
So permanent.
So coarse.
Like now.
Yeah.
Okay. So when she's referring to nimitta and mentioning it's a concept, it's not like talking about the concepts that we were talking about the other day, the dreams and all the ideas that we're lost in, because they are not dreams, they're not nimitta of realities,
right.
they're straight concepts, yes. This is like more nimitta approximating closer and closer to the reality.
Yeah. Not concept in the usual thing, like a table or a tree.
Yeah.
And nimitta is always there, it always follows the rising and falling of
the arising and falling away, which is not directly experienced. Okay. We'll condition the idea of
nimitta. Yeah.
And then following that process we develop the concept of you're sitting here and I'm sitting here and we're in the lovely park.
Far down in the chain.
Yes. And back to Maeve's question, I think you said that conditioned dharmas always must have nimitta, so it's even for an arahant who has fully developed wisdom, the conditioned dharmas
arising and falling away have nimitta. Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Only nibbana doesn't have, is the anicca dhamma, doesn't have a shadow.
Why? Why does nibbana not have nimitta?
Mm-hmm. Nibbana doesn't arise.
Doesn't arise until.
So it has no nimitta, animitta.
I have a question which Betty's question reminded me about with the comment about functions. We read that some cheetahs have more than one function. Some cheetahs actually have many functions, perform many different functions.
Just at a time.
Sorry?
Just at a time.
Just at a time. What does it actually mean to say when we refer to one cheetah having different functions? I mean, I know what the different functions are, for example.
Just one type of cheetah can have two or one or more.
More functions, mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. What does it actually mean to say it has several, one type of cheetah can have several functions?
Same chati, same amount of chetasikas.
But the functions are there, regardless. I mean, they're not concepts. They're there, regardless of whether I think of it or not, or mm-hmm. I know it or not.
Yeah.
I mean, we're told that's X is the function of the jutijita, Y is the function of the patisandijita. So, then what is the jutijita and the patisandijita doing that's different than other jitas?
The patisandijita follows the death consciousness. So it performs the function of arising after death consciousness.
Yeah, I know. But then that's still, it's still working towards a concept.
All types of citta, their function is to experience the faculty of experiencing an object, that's all. That is the faculty of citta.
Following from yesterday when we were talking about darkness, about citta that is not a visible object, all other citta being in darkness, I recall coming across a description of luminous mind, and I wonder if in that context you could say what is the Buddha's mind was referred to as luminous mind. What can this mean?
Akusala cetasika does not arise with citta.
I'm sorry, say again.
At that moment, akusala cetasikas do not arise with that citta.
This is for the Buddha or at
any moment of pavanga.
So when akusala does not arise,
with that citta,
luminous.
Mm-hmm.
What do we understand by luminous in this sense? Like with what we were talking about yesterday.
No akusala arise.
Oh, okay. No akusala. Mm-hmm. So it's not in the sense of light. No.
No.
Okay. So that's like what you said about pure. Is it? You mentioned pure.
Ajahn, I don't know if you heard her. She said pavanga citta just a minute ago.
Yes.
No akusala, and specifically pavanga citta.
Oh, okay.
In that context, yeah. People think of nirvana or they have confusing ideas sometimes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And also kusala citta is that luminous too.
I think that's what I picked up on, and whether that meant that it was pure. But
we have to be a bit careful because of the terms. I mean, there are two terms in Pali. One is Tundra, which is usually translated as pure, and actually all cheetahs are Tundra. And then there is luminous, which is usually Pabasara, which is translated as luminous, which is in, for example, the sutta that all the Mahayanists tend to pick up on. Mm-hmm. And in this context, the luminous, the Pabasara, doesn't refer to all cheetahs. It just refers to those not accompanied by akusala, particularly the Bawanga cheetahs, but also akusala cheetahs.
And it has nothing to do with light.
Okay. Either way. Just back on this one cheetah having many functions. I mean, for example,
one type of cheetah, like Mahavipaka, function.
What I was thinking of is something like Tiruna cheetah, which is in the sense door process. It has the function of investigating the visible object or the sound, but it can also have the function of Patisandhi or of Chuti, and then it's not arising in a sense door process, so then it doesn't seem to have the same cheetah seekers accompanying it, or does it?
Mm-hmm.
It does, but its function is
so
completely
different.
So we
don't have to spend more words for one cheetah.
So the reason that one cheetah has different functions is so we only use one word.
Yeah, I heard that before.
That's all it means. Mm. So we could actually, of course, call them something different, but...
Like it can be called Manotvara Vachana or Vottapana.
Yes. But it's difficult for me to see what is in... If we say it's this one cheetah that is performing different functions, it's difficult for me to see what there is in common between, say... the Santirana, which is the investigating cheetah in the sense door process, and the Santirana when it performs the function of Patisandhi or Chuti. What is there in common? Because it seems like a completely different reality, a completely different dharma. But we read it's one dharma that's performing different functions.
It's ahetuka, without hetus. So when you are born with Santira and Chita as a human, and it's Kusala, Ahetuka Vipaka, it's very weak. Mm. And it is when you are born in an unhappy plane, it's Akusala Vipaka.
But when it's, for example, the Santira in the human plane, with performing the function of investigating, then it's Kusala or Akusala Vipaka. Mm. So... it doesn't even have in common. It can sometimes have moved, sometimes without moving.
And sometimes what it can it? Have an indifferent feeling and sometimes happy feeling.
Can something not have a root accompany?
Yes.
Santirana ahetuka.
Always ahetuka, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. So even when it's kusala vipaka or akusala vipaka, it's ahetuka, yes. So this is what it has in common.
Mm-hmm.
Just... but it seems a very loose kind of definition when we just say it's the same cheetah with different functions.
We'll never have enough work to call different type of cheetah, even they have the same cetasika as a company and the same chanting.
Yes.
But even so, Sampatichana and Santirana, Sampatichana has also the same amount of cetasika. Same chanti, vipaka.
Yes.
Why one is sampatichana and the other one is santirana? See?
Yes. What is the answer?
Because sampatichana has to follow the jakku vinyana or sota vinyana, the ten vinyana.
Mm-hmm. And the other has to investigate.
Yeah. And why can't then Sampatichana perform the function of Patisanti?
Yes.
Only Santirana will.
Yes.
Because you see that seeing arises at the eye base, but the Sampatichana arises at the heart base.
Yes.
Even so, just.
So does Santirana.
And it's the first moment of that which arises at the heart base. But Santira is the second moment in that procession which arises at the heart base, at the Sampaticchana.
So why does that...
So it's more just, firm or powerful to perform the function of Patisanti.
The heart base. I have some recollection of this when
Chitta arises.
Apart from the moments of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, and body sense experiencing, all the other chittas, including those in the sense door processes, arise at the heart base, not at the eye base.
Would you say that again, please?
For example, if we just talk about the eye door process, the moment of seeing arises at the eye base.
Yes.
But the other chittas in the eye-door process don't arise at the eye base, they arise at the heart base.
Which is
a rupa. But they experience the visible object through the doorway of eye base, eye sense. But they actually arise at the heart base.
Where might that be?
That doesn't matter, it's near the heart, but it's a name. People get confused that it is heart-based, but it's just a rupa.
Well, a rupa. Is it a...
Physical base.
It's not a visual object.
No,
it's not a base. Sound.
It needs a base. In the plane where there are five khandhas, chittas meet a physical base. Foundation, place of origin.
I mean, in the Sudhimagga, it's said to be a tiny little rupa somewhere in the region of what we call the heart. I mean, they give a lot of detail, but...
Or the blood near the heart, but it doesn't matter really.
Right. For understanding, it doesn't matter.
Is it visible, the heart base, or any base? But it's there. Wherever citta cetasikas arise.
Except for the
ten.
Citta. For the ones, eye base.
Seeing to hearings.
Thinking arises from the heart?
Think about that.
That's true.
When there are only 10,
yes,
which do not arise at the heart base, what about the other?
Yeah.
Right.